W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media
News
app.
I'm Liz Landers. Republicans in Congress in turmoil. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is out, but now who will replace him?
Republicans, though, are hoping to avoid another embarrassment and get this done quickly. They're eyeing early next week, but getting all of House Republicans on the same page is not going to be easy. And many Republicans that I've talked with up here are skeptical that they can actually pull this off that quickly. They fear that this could drag on.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Republican Congressman Steve Scalise and Jim Jordan in the running. Healthcare workers on strike in California. 75,000 Kaiser Permanente workers walking out for 3 days over wages and staffing issues. It's believed to be the largest healthcare worker strike in history. Weekly numbers on unemployment claims out this morning. Applications for help up by about 2,000 people to 207,000 last week. This comes after a report this week that job openings jumped unexpectedly in August to 9.6 million. This is ABC News. Ukraine now says a Russian attack in the northeastern part of the country has killed 48 people and left at least six more hurt. The shelling apparently hitting a cafe. The Biden administration pushing ahead with a key promise of the Trump administration, a border wall. In this case, it's waiving some laws, including environmental regulations, to construct a section of wall in South Texas. Also in Texas, the issue of the buoys in the Rio Grande headed to court.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered the buoys as part of his $10 billion border security program, and he couldn't have asked for a friendlier forum to hear the case than the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, one of the most conservative appellate courts in the country. The three-judge panel that will hear the argument includes Judge Don Willett, who served as a chief counsel to then-Attorney General Greg Abbott.
ABC's Jim Ryan. And worries about a bedbug invasion in Paris has the French Prime Minister calling a meeting tomorrow of top officials on how to deal with it. I'm Liz Landers, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
A man is in custody after carjacking a woman and her 4-year-old daughter. Grand Chute police say the 31-year-old woman and her child were in a parking lot in the 4300 block of West Wisconsin around 7:30 p.m. on October 2nd. They were threatened by a 51-year-old man with a knife. The man kidnapped them and drove to various banks, forcing the mother to withdraw money. The woman and her daughter were able to escape in Nina and went to the police. The suspect was taken into custody after a coordinated effort by area police officials. The woman and her daughter were treated for non-life-threatening injuries. The man who created the G logo on Packer helmets has died. John Gordon designed the iconic G while he was an art student at St. Norbert College in the early 60s. He was asked to design a logo that resembled a football by a St. Norbert equipment manager. He passed away Saturday at the age of 83 after struggling with Alzheimer's.
Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 $0.95. The pin still set by people, swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks. And a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. The United Auto Workers. Excuse me. And the strikes that they are calling. For those who may not know, I spent 34 years working in the auto plant, in an automobile plant. I walked into that plant at 18 years old, and I walked out at 54. And we worked 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Year in, year out. We certainly did not have the technology that they have today. And let me do this. Let me go to Gary first from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Earl, I tell you, thank you so much for taking my call. The thing is, I've been trying to order a new truck, okay? And every time I try to order a truck, the last time they were on strike, then they were having problems with getting the technology for the chips and stuff like that for the trucks and everything like that. So finally I got my truck ordered. And now the guy that I ordered it from said, well, who knows when it's going to come in now? It might be 6 or 8 months. But the price that I'm going to have to pay for this truck, it's going to be a heck of a lot more than what I agreed with, unless they keep the original agreement. These auto workers, and I know that you're a union guy. I'm not. I'm not a union shop. I own my own heating business, which you know. But the thing is this. These guys want to have four-day weeks, and they don't want to work any overtime. So, and then they want a 40% increase. I can't imagine what it's going to cost me to get this new truck. So, to me, if one of my guys went out there and said, look, I want to work only 4 days, but I want to get paid for five, I'd tell them to jump in a lake. You know, I'll find someone else to do the job. Now, I understand working on an assembly line and, you know, in a factory, it's got to be pretty tough and maybe even a little bit boring doing the same thing over and over again. But a 40% raise and working 4 day weeks and getting paid for five, to me, is like nuts. And we're all going to have to pay more for a car. It costs enough as it is. What do you think, Earl?
Well, so you're correct that I'm a union guy. And, you know, certainly the part of it that I agree with them on our pensions. And the fact that, and so I'm standing with them when it comes to pensions. But it's hard for me to stand with them when they're talking about a 4-day work week. You know, they are handsomely rewarded financially. They make an awful lot of money. I made a lot of money going back during those decades that I worked, but that's nothing compared to what they're making now. But, you know, we work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, the refrain is that this takes a toll on their bodies. Vehicle manufacturing jobs grind down workers' bodies. It's time for a 32-hour work week. Yeah, it's, you know, what we did compared to what they're doing now is, you know, maybe many of those people today couldn't do what we did. We were on assembly lines. We didn't have the technological advancements that they had. And we did a lot of bull work. And so people blew out their arms, their shoulders, their wrists, had multiple surgeries. It was really a grind. I get it. You know, you ask for the moon, and you know you're not going to get the moon, but 4-day work weeks, and the fact that they're using the excuse that it grinds down your bodies. Yeah, it does. We were exposed to all kinds of carcinogens and all sorts of things back in those days. The plants have been a lot more updated than they were when I was there. But the 4-day work week is not going to happen. I think to ask for a 4-day work week, based on the amounts of money that they make, I'm not crying crocodile tears for them. But again, I'm a union guy. But, you know, some things that don't make sense in a 4-day work week. We work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Month in, month out. Year in, year out. That's the way it was. And, you know, people may say, well, that's the way it was then. It's not that way today. Anyway, thank you very much for the call, Gary. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what, sir?
Well, I just was on the internet trying to find where I had read this in an article, and it was some major news source. It wasn't, you know, a far left or far right news source. First of all, the cost of a car, roughly currently 5 to 6%, is labor. Secondly, the executives in the major motor companies got roughly a 40% increase in the last 2 years. That's where the 40% comes from. Thirdly, I read, and I don't know, and this is where I really like the source. I read that the profits in that industry were something like $22 billion last year alone, and if they paid their workers $80,000 a year, all of their workers, their profits would be reduced to $18 or $20 billion. You know, if those are accurate facts, and I'm sorry I cannot a source on them. I know I did.
I would say that they probably do make somewhere around $80,000 a year. And so you are right that the amount of profit that the auto companies make is just unbelievable, especially once they move those jobs offshore. And one of the lies that they told when they moved those jobs offshore was that it was going to be cheaper for the American people to buy cars. They eliminated all those jobs that we had and moved them overseas. And you're right, they got greedy, and they certainly have the money. you know, to pay the workers. I'm just thinking a 4-day work week is a bit much.
You know, quite a few years ago, when unions first began, a 40-hour, 5-day work week was considered outrageous.
That's correct.
The technology today is huge. The amount of productivity for an individual worker has gone up so much. I don't, you know, and again, this I don't know for sure, but my guess is that the UAW people have studied this, and that the productivity is up to the point where, yes, that is a practical reason for saying we need, or we can have, and the car manufacturers can reasonably afford a 4-day work week. Now, I don't know that for sure. That I don't have any sources. But I do know that the productivity in all of the industries, because of automation, has just continued to increase. The workers have not seen a significant increase on that.
So I will say to you, Jack, I will say to you that going back 20 years, we were making $80,000 a year then. It's just true. But it was with a lot of overtime. And you're right that what they are making now, if you go back 20 years, as it was when I was around there, $80,000 20 years ago was probably equivalent to $120,000 now. So, yeah, it's not like they don't have it. You know, I just think the 4 days is a bit much. Thank you very much for the call, Jack. Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. You say what?
Well, I also am a fellow union employee, or fellow should say retired union employee, but I stand with AUW, and like Jack was talking earlier, they don't have to raise the prices of cars. All they need to do is lower the incomes of the people on top, because this is just the rhetoric that the Republicans throw out there, that, oh my God, now it's going to cost so much more money to buy a car because they're going to make more money. That's just a bunch of hooey. It's just more money that they're paid that goes into stimulating the economy. So it just aggravates me when I hear this stupidity.
You know, as I said to you, Cindy, as I said to the listening audience, you know, I stand with them going back to pensions. I receive a pension. You know, I understand why they decided to do away with pensions. It was greed. And the fact that they created the 401k, which doesn't come anywhere near what the pensions offered people. And many of us who in my day were exposed to all manner of things. So I stand with them on pensions and some of the other things. I just thought, you know, 4-day work week, you know, again, especially since I was working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day for years, you know, that's the way it was. Thank you very much for the call, Cindy. I appreciate it. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Shine bright to see. Would you truly be? You're a shining star. No matter who you are, shining bright to see. Would you truly be? Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be. Shining star for you.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown or to ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people, no machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon. Otherwise, overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 72. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear. Tonight, slight chance for scattered showers. Lows level off around 45. Scattered rain showers again. Tomorrow, highs around 56. Overcast. Temperatures a bit below average Saturday and Sunday with highs in the low 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 54.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Hey.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Talking about the auto workers strike and your thoughts, let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts?
Good morning. Good morning, Earl. First, unions are democracy in the workplace, and we must never forget that. Second, people don't realize this, but when George War Criminal Bush basically, or when Barack Obama actually saved the auto industry, those people in the UAW had to take haircuts and take some major haircuts in order to work with the owners at that time. The owners are now making, as Jack said, $22 million in profit. $22 billion. And also on top of that, I think what's really happening in all of these industries is automation, AI is really coming along. And people are afraid that, honestly, they're not going to have jobs because they're going to be replaced by all this automated industry.
Hey, Tom, that's absolutely true.
So they're looking for protection in terms of if this is coming. So they can actually feed their families and actually be able to have a life and actually be able to, work with a good pension. That's part of the problem is the people that are in industry have actually reneged on their promises of pensions, whether it's in the education field.
Yeah, that's true,
man. In Wisconsin through Act 10. And they want some assurances and they want some security. And I think, honestly, I wish that the Democratic Party would negotiate the way the unions are negotiating, because they're not showing their full hands. Maybe they're saying 4-day week because that's going to get everyone up in arms and say, I had to work 7 days a week. So they'll get people up in arms. But you know what? They can always ask for it and they can always say no. And you got to start somewhere and you got to start high if you ever want to get something, rather than doing like what our Democratic colleagues do in government and start low and then just go lower. Unfortunately, Barack Obama was probably one of the worst negotiators I think I've ever seen when it came to that type of policy. But I really, really stand behind the UAW. Now, myself, I am a small business owner. I am someone that, if I take care of my 4, 5, 6 employees, I take care of them and I can see them. But when it comes to a point when your company has an Excel spreadsheet and you don't know individually your own person, Gary, like something like that, then a union is needed in a major way. And once again, I just would recommend everybody look up on Google, Common Dreams, To Santa Claus Theory, Jude Wininski, because that's going to explain to you what the Republican Party is all about and what they do. And for God's sakes, we have got to get money out of politics. That is the major thing. And did you know, Earl, did you know back like when you were working, you know, the owners may have taken 30% more than the, you know,
I understand, I am aware of all those things. I have never said, and that there shouldn't be, there needs to be more unions. And the people who are opposed to unions just don't understand the value of those unions. And so, you know, ask police and fire if they would be willing to give up their unions. And they would tar and feather anybody who would be opposed to what those unions have done for them. So, you know, that should be for anybody who, the protection of unions, critically important. I would not be living the life that I'm living now if I didn't spend over 34 years in a union. So I'm not anti-union. I'm not opposed to it. I agree with 99% of what unions are fighting for, because we live in a society that has devalued the unions, and part of why we're where we are is because of the lies that have been told about the unions. So I'm with you on that, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. You know, yes, your body suffers. You know, I went through some surgeries. And yes, it's difficult work. No question. You're compensated well, as we were. And so your body is not built or made to be, you know, a human robot. But, you know, that's kind of what you buy into when you take those kinds of jobs. And again, you know, I hope I'm not sounding like somebody who's anti-union. I'm not. I'm a guy who supports unions, you know, through and through. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Frozen Tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Liz Landers. Republicans in Congress in turmoil. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is out, but now, Who will replace him?
Republicans, though, are hoping to avoid another embarrassment and get this done quickly. They're eyeing early next week. But getting all of House Republicans on the same page is not going to be easy. And many Republicans that I've talked with up here are skeptical that they can actually pull this off that quickly. They fear that this could drag on.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Republican Congressman Steve Scalise and Jim Jordan in the running. Healthcare workers on strike in California. 75,000 Kaiser Permanente workers walking out for 3 days over wages and staffing issues. It's believed to be the largest healthcare worker strike in history. Weekly numbers on unemployment claims out this morning. Applications for help up by about 2,000 people to 207,000 last week. This comes after a report this week that job openings jumped unexpectedly in August to 9.6 million. This is ABC News.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
The search on the Fox River for a 21-year-old Green Bay man has been suspended by the Coast Guard. The search for Victor Torres Guadalupe started about 2 a.m. on Wednesday, but authorities decided they didn't have enough evidence showing he had entered the water. They are asking for the public's help in finding him. He is 5'10", about 155 pounds, has black hair and brown eyes. Anyone with helpful information should call the Green Bay Police Department. The man who created the G logo on Packer helmets has died. John Gordon designed the iconic G while he was an art student at St. Norbert College in the early 60s. He was asked to design a logo that resembled a football by a St. Norbert equipment manager. He passed away Saturday at the age of 83 after struggling with Alzheimer's. Tonight's Powerball jackpot is $1.2 billion. That's the third largest ever, and it'll go up slightly after I buy my ticket later. Good luck. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Buck Tussle has been providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin before it was cool. Now we're celebrating the company and the bug that started it all. In honor of our mascot, Buford's birthday, and the anniversary of our company, we are giving new customers free service until 2024, and five current customers will win $1,000 each. For more details and to get Buck Tussle internet today, call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl. Two questions. One is the four-day work week. Are they talking like other factories do where it's
10 hours a day?
4 days a week, but it's 10 hours a day? Yeah,
I
can understand that.
Yeah, I can understand that, but I don't know. You know, I was assuming they were talking about I was assuming they're talking about 8 hours a day, you know, 4 days a week.
And And then the other thing is, the CEO of General Motors makes $111,000 a day. So, and what the people underneath her are making a day with that kind of money, and then they can justify paying the people who are actually working up a sweat, wrecking their bodies, that kind of money. What does she do that warrants $111,000 a day?
Man, you'll never hear me support the compensation for CEOs and CFOs, and because, you know, again, going back to when I was working and those people who were in the positions of CFOs and CEOs weren't compensated to that degree. So, you know, I clearly don't support that. I understand your point, man. Thank you very much for the call. Let me get here, because I've been trying to get here. And this is a subject that I really wanted to talk about. It's called the nuns, Calvin. Not the N-U-N-S, the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. And American non-religious are a growing diverse phenomenon. They really don't like organized religion. Now, part of what is going on in this country is that over 30% of Americans are either agnostic or non-religion or, what is the other one?
Atheist.
Thank you, Calvin. Or atheist. That was unheard of when I was a young person. The fact that 30% of the American people were not affiliated with a religion, with a religion at all, is just mind-boggling to me where we are now. America's non-religious are a growing diverse phenomenon. They really don't like organized religion. Hey, I get it. You know, there's some things that took place that kind of ran people away from organized religion. I grew up in a household that I went to church every Sunday. It was mandatory. I went to Sunday school every Sunday. It was mandatory. All the way up until the time I was old enough to make a decision myself. But today, there's 30% of the American people who are not affiliated at all with some kind of church, synagogue, mosque, temple, you name it. And so part of what is going on with this nation and all the horrible things that are going on with people, some may say it's because people are no longer connected to religion. Well, I think the part of that religion itself, the term religion, is kind of what people have pulled away from because of what is encapsulated in these different religious beliefs. Again, you know, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Taoism, you know, whatever the ism is, people are turned off by that. And some of these people, and when we talk about spirituality, people say, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, here's Mike Dulick grew up Catholic in Southern California. By his teen years, he began skipping mass and driving straight to the shore to play guitar, watch the waves, and enjoy the beauty of the morning. And it felt more spiritual than any time I set foot in a church, he recalled. Nothing has changed that view in the ensuing decades. Most religions are there to control people and get money from them, said Dulek, now 76, of Missouri. He also cited sex abuse scandals in Catholic and Southern Baptist churches. I can't do that, he said. As Dudek rejected being part of a religious flock, he has plenty of company. He is a nun, not N-U-N, but N-O-N. No, not that kind, the kind that checks nun when pollsters ask, what's your religion? Now, the decades-long rise of the nuns, a diverse, hard-to-summarize group, is one of the most talked about phenomena in U.S. religion. They are reshaping America's religious landscapes and as we know it. In U.S. religion today, the most important story without a shadow of a doubt is the unbelievable rise in the share of Americans who are non-religious, said Ryan Burge, a political science professor at Eastern Illinois University and author of The Nuns, a book on the phenomenon. The nuns account for a large portion of Americans, as shown by the 30% of U.S. adults who claim no religious affiliation. Now, let me ask you in the audience. It's kind of unfathomable to me, again, as a person who grew up in the times that I grew up, that we would ever get to a point where over 30% of Americans are no longer affiliated with any sort of religion, and that number is growing steadily. And so why is the question? What has happened that those of us who were brought up under those religious tenets by our parents, it was absolutely necessary that we did those things, that we had that religious foundation. And you look at things that are taking place in the country now, and there are people who can say, well, at the root of those things is the lack of people being involved in some religion, because religion taught us morals and values. This is what, you know, people, when we talk about what it stood for when we were young, those were supposedly the things and the tenets of religion that all of us had to learn as young people that would eventually make us better human beings, better adults, and better in the society. Well, that's not the case anymore, because families aren't involved as much as they once were in these different religious entities. There's a lot more, people may say there's a lot more hell in the world now than there was then. And at the root of it is the fact that the organized religions don't have the control over the populace that it once had. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, other major surveys say the nuns have been steadily increasing for the last, again, three decades. This is a serious subject. It's one that really I think we need to, you know, spend some time on, and I'm not going to have enough time to really get into the depth of it the way I think we should. Churches are closing all over this nation, and young people aren't being raised in those entities. Let's go to the phone lines and bring Andre up. Good morning to you, Andre. Your thoughts.
Earl, thanks for accepting my call. I love your show. I basically just wanted to say that, you know, the theology of the religion of this country has failed. It absolutely has failed. You can look at the flock as a bear witness of the fruit that we live around. It has absolutely failed. I don't know if it's, you want to consider this country a Christian country or whatever, but it's absolutely a failure. All you have to do is take a look around. And I think those so-called founding folks who came over here was spreading Christianity, but it was really white supremacy in the name of Jesus Christ, right? They failed that. And it has turned people off. You can't tell me that you my brother, and you enslaved me, and you sold my black babies and raped my black women. That's not a Christian faith. You can't convince me of that. So as a result of that, this is what we're up against. And just to speak on Islam, it means submission, and everything submits, whether you want to believe it or not. Okay, thank you for accepting my call, Earl.
All right, thank you very much for the call. You know, I mean, you know, even in Islam, there are not as many people who are engaged in Islam or Buddhism or Taoism or any of those things as there once were. People have decided that, you know, the religion itself and the rituals of those religions are what clearly are turning people off. It's not what I said, but that's what's at the root of it. And so people want to separate themselves from those things that were the tenets of those religions, right? You know, we go to church every Sunday. Well, people in many instances have kind of pulled away from churches. They pull away from churches for a lot of different reasons. One of the main reasons was when COVID was prevalent and people got used to not going to church, a lot of them didn't go back. And they didn't bring their tithes back. And so many of the churches have failed and are failing because the economic issues associated with running churches has changed because the people who would bring their tithes to the storehouse are no longer bringing their tithes to the storehouse because they're not bringing themselves to the storehouse. Now, I'll tell you, I really want to get into this and I'm not going to have enough time to do it justice today, but I'm going to bring it up next week, and we're going to spend some time talking about it. Because some say with the way we see things moving in this country, the hatred, you know, the people killing one another in just unprecedented, numbers, the fact that so many people are strung out and that at the root of all those things is the loss of faith. So we're going to talk about it, especially a little bit more next week, because I don't have the time to delve into it the way I really want to this morning. But we've got to go to a break, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
Protect your family from radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free test kit at newradon.com. That's newradon.com. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered showers this afternoon. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. High of 72, southwesterly winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers again. Tonight, lows dip down to about 45, mainly clear. Cloudy skies. Tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 56. Dry with temperatures a bit below average Saturday and Sunday, and highs in the low 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 59.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. Listen, I love football, right? I may rule the day that I say this, that I said this, Calvin. But, hey, I don't watch football, man, to see Taylor Swift usurping the football games. Man, wait a minute. It's okay that, you know, Taylor Swift is, you know, has supplanted, what's her name, man? What's those sisters, man? That don't have talent other than...
Oh, the Kardashians.
Yeah, the Kardashians, right? So, well, maybe they do have some talents that I'm not aware of, but man, don't every commercial, every break, they're going to show Taylor Swift. Okay, so I get it. Travis Kelce is dating Taylor Swift. But that shouldn't be, you know, Taylor Swift is not the NFL. The NFL was there before Taylor Swift started dating Travis Kelce. Every few seconds, oh, it's Taylor Swift, it's Taylor Swift. Hey, man, if I wanted to see Taylor Swift, I would turn to Entertainment Tonight. But I'm not watching Entertainment Tonight. I'm watching the NFL, man. Enough of that. Because Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are only going to be together for a short period of time. Come on, man. And even if they weren't, even if they decided to marry, why is this important for me as a guy who wants to watch a football game? Hey, Tom, what's going on, man?
I agree with you, but hey, Earl, yeah, I agree with you. But the one thing I will say is that our media and corporate media,
it's ridiculous, man,
in this country. But here's the thing I get mad about. All of a sudden, everyone starts coming down on Taylor and Kelce. I mean, the thing is, they're not asking for it. They're just going to a damn game.
I didn't say.
It's the media.
I know.
I'm just saying that. But the thing is, it's this media that always, they are trying to basically now, because they know what Taylor Swift can do to an economy, and they know what Taylor Swift
can
do.
Well, it's ridiculous that one person can do something to the economy, Tom.
So what they're doing is they are trying to make it like the Super Bowl, where it's like people that don't normally watch football are now going to ruin it for the rest of us that really like football.
Yes, man.
And that's why usually the Super Bowl is usually the highest watched game, because you get all these people watching the halftime show or whatever it might be. But all of us people that really love football kind of hate the Super Bowl because it's not even really football. It's just it's a big show. And the thing is, that's what they're trying to do now with even the regular season. I think it's absolutely disgusting. Again, it's greed of money. But I'm definitely a Taylor Swift fan, but I don't need to see her in my football. If they want to show it one time, that's fine. But when they show it 10, 20,000 times during the game and miss plays in the game because they're showing Taylor,
No, man.
That's ridiculous.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call, man. I mean, really, man, that's what it is. You know, Travis Kelce himself has said, hey, enough of this. You know, I mean, come on, man. You know, like I said, I don't, you know, I'm not begrudging people who watch Entertainment Tonight, right? They have a right to watch that. I mean, you know, they can say, you know, those of us who are watching football, I don't see Entertainment Tonight spending a lot of time showing, you know, football. Man, okay, I understand the woman is a powerhouse and she makes a lot of money. You know, and whoever she's dating, you know, truth be told, if you look over the last couple of years, there's at least 6 or 7 different guys she's dated. So, you know, the odds are this is a fling, you know, like the other 6 or 7 that she's been with. And so why make this out of something that all of us need to see? I don't need to see Taylor Swift on Sunday mornings when I'm watching a football game, man. You know, you see enough of her on Entertainment Tonight and all these other shows. You know, enough already. Oh, before we get out of here, Calvin, did you take the COVID shots? You ever taken the COVID shots?
I had one and the first booster. I haven't had one since.
Okay. So those of us who took those vaccinations and we had, you remember the vaccination card?
Yep.
You still got it?
I'm sure it's around my house somewhere.
Yeah. Well, we used to always have those things in our wallets for the last few years. They were too cumbersome and big. You put it in your wallet and it was just always in the way, but we got used to carrying those things around everywhere. We no longer have to carry the vaccination cards anymore. They finally have decided it's not that important anymore. They finally realized that to have people carry these cards made of paper that you folded up and kept in your wallet, you can finally get rid of those. Doesn't mean that COVID is done, but they finally been able to put those things where they should be. And take that burden away from us, you and me, from carrying around a piece of paper in your wallet. It's similar to cardboard that didn't fit anyway to prove that you had taken the vaccinations. All right, I got to get out of here. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. It's Friday. Thank God it's that. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day he took his own life.
90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan.